Okay, here we go. Each one of you will put to flight 1,000 of the enemy, for the Lord your God fights for you, just as he has promised. So be very careful to love the Lord your God. Joshua 23, verses 10 and 11, NLT. We're going to do it again. Here we go. Each one of you, okay? Each one of you will put to flight 1,000 of the enemy, for the Lord your God fights for you, just as he has promised. So be very careful to love the Lord your God. Joshua 23, verses 10 and 11, NLT. Very good.
Joshua chapter 23. Let's pray. Lord God, we thank you for your faithfulness, and you knew that we were going to be in this book at this time when the world around us is going through what it's going through. Lord, we pray for Israel. We pray for your protection, Lord, your wisdom. We pray for those people that are living right now in one of the worst times in their history, Lord, that they would come to know you, that they would turn, Lord, to you, Jesus Christ. Lord, we pray for our country, too, that our country would continue, Lord, to support, that we would be wise about the things that are happening around us, that we would be aware. Lord, I also pray for our time before you now. Lord, I pray that you would remove any distractions, Lord, that your Holy Spirit can move freely, Lord, in this place. And so I pray for your anointing today as we dive into this such important chapter and the words of wisdom. Lord, work and speak through us today. In Jesus' name. Amen. So I suppose that by now, we're in chapter 23 of Joshua. You all know geography really well for Israel. So before we go into Ephesians, there will be a final, and you will be asked to map out and know exactly where all the Israel divided their land. Not. yeah, she's ready to pass out the papers right now. Chapter 23, verse 1 and 2. Now it came to pass a long time after the Lord had given rest to Israel from all their enemies round about, that Joshua was old, advanced in age. And Joshua called for all Israel, for their elders and their heads, for their judges and for their officers, and said to them, I am old, advanced in age. Now, it's believed that at this point, a long time is about 20 years, give or take, of 20 years of rest for the people of Israel. We know in chapter 24 that when Joshua dies, he's 110 years old. And so at this point, he is getting ready to say his goodbyes. Now, the people of Israel, as you know, we've been studying, had now entered into the promised land. They had been conquerors. They had conquered, and they had divided the land. So Joshua brings everybody in his final farewell, or like a final exhortation. And you think about it, it's kind of like a State of the Union, right? He brings all of the heads and the judges and the leaders, and he brings them together, and everybody's anxiously listening to see what Joshua has to say. Now, we know he's coming to the end of his life, and it's time for him to hand over the leadership to the next generation. And as Joshua's time is coming to an end, God's work was not coming to an end. Right? So it's the passing of the baton, so to speak. But not before he imparts some very important wisdom and some very important warnings to the people of Israel. The generation of Israel that was there with Joshua had been obedient to God. They had seen all the great things that Jesus and God had done, and they still continued to receive that instruction and that warning from Joshua. You think about those seasoned saints, right? Those folks that have been following the Lord for so long, and maybe they're in ministry or maybe they're in your personal life, and they just can't take instruction. You know, I know. I already know. I'm older than you, perhaps, and there's nothing you can teach me because I'm in the Word. I know. Lord can't use you. But even though they had seen things firsthand, they still were anxious to hear what Joshua had to say. So there was a lot of respect there for Joshua. In verse 3, you have seen all that the Lord your God has done to all these nations because of you. For the Lord your God is he who has fought for you. See, I have divided to you by the lot these nations that remain to be an inheritance for the tribes from the Jordan with all the nations that I've cut off as far as the great sea westward. And now the Lord your God will expel them from before you and drive them out of your sight. So you shall possess their land and the Lord your God, as the Lord your God promised you. Now we know that there was still land that the people of Israel had not yet claimed. And Joshua here is reminding them that, where did your power and where did your strength come from? And who's actually the one that fought for you? Not the God that fought behind you, not the God that, you know, came in after you or next to you. It's the one who fought for them. Joshua emphasized the Lord your God at least 12 times in this chapter. In 16 verses, he says the Lord your God at least 12 times in this chapter. It's God who fights the battle through us and in us and for us, but the battle belongs to the Lord. Joshua is saying, hey, you were firsthand witnesses. You had a firsthand account. You were eyewitnesses of all that God did to bring them into the promised land. He parted the Jordan, right? He brought down the walls of Jericho. He fought off the enemies and drove them out. He granted them the land flowing of milk and honey. And he provided you the land of inheritance to be divided amongst you. So up to now, the people of Israel have had an extended time of fruitfulness, of consistency and devotion to God. And the encouragement that Joshua is saying, continue the course. Don't lose track of that. Keep going. We are eyewitnesses of what the Lord has done in our lives, right? As Christ's followers, we're called to enter and to occupy the land or those promises that God has promised us, to take hold of his promises. And it may look different for each of you and each of us in our own life, but God calls us to occupy that land and to take it. And we need to be reminded, not only, hey, this is great, God gave us these promises, but where did we pull us out from? What was the slavery? What was the bondage that brought us here? Let's not forget. That's great, we take God's promises, but let's not forget what he did. The Lord gives us the victory. And he has, and he does, and guess what? He always will. And in the same manner that the people of Israel had others occupying part of their land, how often do we have things of this world occupying pieces in our life that we're not ready to let and drive out? Or maybe not yet. Verse 6, therefore, be courageous to keep and to do all that is written in the book of the law of Moses, lest you turn aside from it to the right hand or to the left. Now, this may sound familiar. I feel like there's a theme in Joshua, something about being courageous. But we did hear this in chapter 1 of Joshua. You know, it's the theme of Joshua is to have courage. He provides instructions on the importance of following the book of the law of Moses. Of course, you guys know the first 5 books of the Bible, are considered the law of Moses. And those are the laws that God passed down. So let's turn to Deuteronomy 7. Deuteronomy chapter 7. Joshua chapter 7, verse 1. Good, you're paying attention. Yay. Just a test, you all passed. Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse 1. When the Lord your God brings you into the land which you go to possess and has cast out many nations before you, the Hittites, the Girgashites, the Amorites, and the Canaanites, and the Perizzites, and the Hivites, and the Jebusites, seven nations greater and mightier than you. And when the Lord your God delivers them over to you, you shall conquer them and utterly destroy them. You shall make no covenant with them, nor show mercy to them. Nor shall you make marriages with them. You shall not give your daughter to their son, nor take their daughter for your son. For they will turn your sons away from following me to serve other gods. So the anger of the Lord will be aroused against you and destroy you suddenly. But thus you shall deal with them. You shall destroy their altars and break down their sacred pillars and cut down their wooden images and burn their carved images with fire. So Joshua is saying, don't forget those things that have been told to you, because a stricter warning is coming. Heed to the warnings. Heed to God's law. So these were instructions on how the people of Israel were to live and how they were to walk. And Jesus, right, in the New Testament tells us also how we should live and how we should walk. And this is a degree of courage, right? It's a degree of courage that we need to have in trusting in God and his promises and how we are obedient. Lest you turn. Now, lest you turn is really the act of consciously moving away into another direction. Notice that Joshua says, lest you turn to the left or lest you turn to the right. It's almost like the when you think about folks that talk about your Christian life, it's a walk, right? You walk down the path that is narrow. So what Joshua is saying here is don't go off path here. Don't go down the wide path, or don't go down to the other path that seems easier. And so how do we keep all that's written in God's word if we're not reading it? Or how are we to stay on that Christian path referred to by Joshua and not turn to the left or not turn to the right if we're not actually putting anything that we do in practice and walking in it? Colossians 3:16 says, let the word of God dwell richly in you. It needs to be part of how we exercise and how our DNA makeup is in Christ. Obedience. How often, as in our Christian walk, do we underestimate the importance of obedience? In the life of a believer, there's a distinction between someone that says, yeah, I know God. I know God. Yeah, who doesn't know God? Versus someone who walks in step with the Lord. And someone who obeys the Lord. Jesus tells us that if we love him, we obey his commandments. John 14:15. The willful decision to turn away from God's commandments and instruction would be their downfall. The moving away from God's moral standards would bring about destruction. Look at America today. We are slowly, slowly moving away from God's standards, God's morals. And what is happening is going to be the ultimate collapse of the United States. Joshua is very clear. Be obedient. Don't go any other way than the way of the Lord. Verse 7, lest you go among these nations, these who remain among you, you shall not make mention of the name of their gods, nor cause anyone to swear by them. You shall not serve them, nor bow down to them, but you shall hold fast to the Lord your God as you have done to this day. The warning that Joshua is giving here is that if they would first tolerate, they would then adopt, and they would then incorporate. They would first tolerate, then they would adopt, and then they would incorporate things of those nations that remained around them. Pagan worship, idolatry, there was serious risk in compromising the word of God, and being influenced by those around them. They would need that trust in God and that courage to stand up against the influences around them and those temptations that had gripped the previous generation of Israel. Remember, when Israel came out of Egypt, a lot of the previous generation died in the wilderness. If you remember, they were like, well, we want to go back. It was better being a slave, you know? And so that was a illness that plagued the people of Israel. And so the warning here is don't be tempted to tolerate, to accommodate, and eventually serve that. Isn't that the same in our lives? We can easily be influenced by something that seems benign. And before you know it, that thing has a grip on us. I had a teacher, apologetics teacher, that said, we suffer from the can effect, C-A-N. Whatever becomes common then becomes acceptable, and then it becomes normal. Whatever becomes common becomes acceptable and is then normal. Have you seen anything like that in our country? For this reason, Joshua said, never call on the name of a false god. Don't even mention it. Don't ever swear or take oaths to false gods. Never bow down to false gods. But cling on to the Lord as you have. Hey, you've already been doing it. Joshua's like, I'm not asking you to do anything different. You've been doing it to this day. Continue. Keep doing it. Sadly, compromise leads to idolatry, which results in captivity. And again, this would plague the children of Israel in their future. We see that in Judges. We see that in Chronicles. If the Israelites shouldn't have done it, why do we tolerate it in our own lives? Things that are destructive, things that are not edifying, things that can lead us into captivity to that very thing or to that very person or to that very idea. It may look different to us. You know, we're not walking around probably with little Buddhas in our house, but it's very much the same. Whatever you love the most is your God. Money might look different. Money, status, the car. Those are your God. And God calls us to be at the same level of separation that he asked and told the people of Israel to do. We live in this world, but we're certainly not of it. We don't intermingle our beliefs. We don't serve the idols of the world. We don't bow down to the things of the world. And if you're not sure what that is, like what is it? Look at any show that streams, not on, well, actually regular network TV probably too. Look at any show. What is promoted? Look at any hot movie that's out. What is promoted? That is what the world celebrates. That is what the world worships. Our intermingling is to the extent of adding flavor and adding light. Not to dilute in the dark. Faithfulness and obedience to the Lord and separation is what brings blessing. Verse 9, for the Lord has driven out before you great and strong nations, but as for you, no one has been able to stand against you to this day. One man of you shall chase 1,000, for the Lord your God is he who fights for you. As he promised you, therefore take careful heed to yourselves that you love the Lord your God. The occupation and the residence of the promised land was conditional. It required obedience. Despite the children of Israel having been taken into captivity and leaving the land several times over the course of history, we see that with the Assyrians, with the Babylonians, with the Syrians, with the Romans, God continued to bring them back into the land. And it has always been a conditional covenant from generation to generation. Remember, I go back to the generation that left in Exodus, that left Egypt. They didn't enter into the promised land. They wanted to go back to Egypt. We were better off as slaves. While continuing in obedience, the people of Israel were able to enjoy the land that was provided for the people. In verse 11, Joshua says, "Be careful to love the Lord your God." This warning implies that you can lose your love of God. In Revelation chapter 2, we see the loveless church, the church who left their first love, the church of Ephesus. C.S. Lewis says, "Every Christian would agree that a man's spiritual health is exactly in proportion to his love for the Lord." Or maybe you don't lose your love, but maybe you lose your affection or your passion for the Lord. Our love for God can grow cold. We would need to be watchful that we don't lose that flame that burns for the Lord. We would never dare think, right, that our love for people or one another doesn't require energy, focus, commitment, discipline, granted, some more than others, you know, it's a little more effort for some people. In our Couples Connect group, you know, we have a marriage couple, and we always read different books that have, like, people's testimonials and why they ended up in counseling and what were some of the challenges in their marriage. And the couples are always challenged with the lack of time they spend together or the lack of communication. You know, we just kind of like two ships passing in the night. We can never really talk about things. They prioritize other things over their marriage. And the list goes on and on. But yet, even in the best relationships, they require a continued investment of time and nurturing, right? But why do we expect that our relationship with God doesn't require that? It just will happen. Lord, I accept you in my heart. I am a new creation, and I'm just going to love you, right? No, you have to put in the work. You have to nurture it. Don't be a too busy to love Christian. A too busy to love the Lord Christian. Watch over your love and protect it. We're to maintain that passion in our heart. If you've lost that love or that heart for God, guess what? He can help you get it back. Just ask him. His word will show you. He'll guide you right back on how to love him. Joshua is warning here, hey, be careful. Love the Lord. Watch over it. Protect it. We are very much deceived if we feel and we think that nothing can threaten our love for the Lord. How do we keep it? We remain in his word. We remember what he has done. That's why we do communion. Lord, thank you for what you've done. Thank you for where you pulled me from. And journal. Journal and look back at all that he's done and what he's brought you out of, because we live in seasons. Lord, I'm in it right now. This is like the worst thing that can ever happen to me. And then 3 months later, things are good. And we forget where we were and what God did. What was our Egypt that God pulled us from? We never arrive at perfection when it comes to loving the Lord. We can always grow that love. Verse 12, or else, dun, dun, dun. If indeed you do go back and cling to the remnant of these nations, that remain among you and make marriages with them, and go into them and they to you, know for certain that the Lord your God will no longer drive out these nations from before you, but they shall be snares and traps to you, and scourges on your sides, and thorns in your eyes, until you perish from this good land which the Lord your God has given you. Here comes the or else. We know that the blessings of the land are conditional. Decisions would have consequences. If they decided to abandon God and his morality, they would be faced with defeat, discomfort, and disgrace. It was guaranteed to happen. Joshua said, no for sure. This is not a, well, maybe it could. Remember, Deuteronomy 7:1-5. Decisions would need to be made. Either love the Lord and hate sin, cleave on to the Lord and don't be influenced by others, or love the sin, cling on to the influence of the nations. And we know that when you are influenced, you are changed. Consider all the things that influencers can influence kids these days to do. I can't believe it. I mean, I feel like I'm out of touch sometimes, and I look at stuff, and I think the most recent one is they have kids pretend that they're background characters on a video game for money. So they'll just be like, oh, thank you, oh, thank you, oh, and then there's people sending them money. Oh, thank you, oh, this is good, this is, and all the kids want to do it because that's how they're going to make money. This is the most ridiculous thing. So think about all of the garbage that people are influenced to do. Remember the whole thing with the Tide Pods? They were like eating the Tide Pods or something? Bizarre. So it does change you. Influence changes you. Joshua is warning about the destruction of apostasy, the turning back or abandoning of biblical beliefs, doctrines, and principles. Too many times I come across people that I once respected or once had a good relationship with that now is deconstructing their faith. Well, I used to believe in the Bible, but it's a little antiquated now. Like, it's just not current. Or I used to believe in God, but how can a God, like, do? No, there's just no way. 2 Peter 2:20-22. For if, after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, they are again entangled in them and overcome, and the latter end is worse for them than the beginning. For if they had been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness, than having known it, to turn from the holy commandment delivered to them. But it has happened to them, according to the true proverb, a dog returns to his own vomit, and a sow having washed to her wallowing in the mire. In New Living Translation, essentially he's saying, you're going to get entangled, enslaved by sin again. It would have been better if they had never known the way of righteousness, to know it than to reject it. A dog returns to its vomit, and a washed pig returns to its mud. We need to be very careful with who we associate ourselves with and who we create deep, intimate relationships with. A hindrance in your life as to a successful life as a Christian is the relationships that influence your walk. 1 Corinthians 15:33. Do not be deceived. Evil company corrupts good habits. The very same people that the Israelites married, think about it, they married these people, would be their thorns, their snares, traps, and whips. Hello, slavery, and thorns in their eyes, those who they thought were harmless enough to marry and go into a union with. Unequally yoked marriages would result in a very painful and destructive discomfort in their life. A disaster. Disaster would come from them. The imagery here is very painful to envision. Thorn in your eyes. Like, I can't even have like a little piece of anything in my eye. I'm like, oh, take me to the hospital. I'm going to lose my eye, you know? Can you imagine thorns in your eyes? We are more susceptible. Don't be deceived. We are more susceptible to be negatively influenced versus positively influenced. You ever see the example where that you do this a lot, or used to do this a lot with like kids ministry or like youth ministry, where you'd have somebody on a chair and then they would step up and you have the one person that's on the floor and the other person on the chair, and you're like, okay, who's going to influence who? The person on the chair is the person that follows Jesus, and the person that's on the floor is going to bring you down to the world, and who's going to win the battle? And it was a very interesting way of saying, like, yeah, it's so much easier for me to bring somebody down than for me to bring somebody up to the chair with me. So when you think about what Joshua was warning is, you will fall if you don't follow and obey. But God is gracious, and he loves us so much, and he offers us forgiveness. Verse 14, behold, this day I am going the way of all the earth, and know in all your hearts and in all your souls that no one thing has failed of all the good things which the Lord your God spoke concerning you. All have come to pass for you, and not one word of them has failed. Therefore, it shall come to pass that as all the good things which have come upon you, which the Lord your God promised you, so the Lord will bring upon you all harmful things, until he has destroyed you from this good land which the Lord your God has given you. When you have transgressed the covenant of the Lord your God, which he commanded you, and have gone and served other gods and bowed down to them, then the anger of the Lord will burn against you, and you shall perish quickly from the good land which he has given you. Joshua here is not really saying anything that the people of Israel don't already know. He repeats how dependable and how infallible God is. He repeats, when there is obedience, that blessing and victory follows. You turn from God and you disobey, and you are going to find defeat. In Deuteronomy 7:22, God had already said that he'd drive out the enemies over time, little by little. We don't often see victory in our lives all at once, either. It's often a long-lasting prayer that we continue to bring, right, to God. And there are times where we may not even see the victory on this side of eternity. But no matter what it is, no matter what we are seeing, God is doing a work. He is a refiner. Malachi 3:3 says, God will sit as a refiner, and he will sit, meaning he will be patient. He will continue to take, like a goldsmith takes all the junk out, keeps burning, and little by little increases the heat. All the junk comes up. They take that off, keeps going and going and going. And we will feel that in our lives. Things are getting hot in here, God. I don't know what's going on. And he'll turn it up until it is so pure that he sees his own reflection. His mission is to refine us continuously. At times that he does that, we just have to trust him, and we have to have courage. But we walk in God's promises when we keep his commandments and walk in his ways. We are obedient, we abandon evil, and we love and protect our love for God. I'm going to share this story. I heard this comic strip that was, I went looking for it and I couldn't find it, but it's Jesus sitting in a living room, And somehow there's a server in there too. But the person is like running around the house and like doing stuff, and Jesus is sitting there waiting at the table. And the person's running around, and the server comes over and says, "Can I get you something to drink?" "No, no, no, I'm waiting. We're going to have coffee together." "Okay." The person's running around and is going up the stairs, down the stairs, to the back and the front. And then finally, like, "Oh, hi, Jesus. Hey, so I'm thinking of dating this guy, but I don't really know. Like, can you bless it? And then I was also wondering, I'm thinking of buying a new house, but I'm not really sure if I should buy it here, if I should buy it. Can you let me know? Like, can you just, like, let me know right away? And then also, I was thinking that I should take this job, but I wasn't really sure. And so I would just really, really love it if you just blessed everything and let me know. So, yeah, I'll talk to you later." And he just leaves. She leaves. And the server comes by and says, "Same time tomorrow." Jesus says, "Same time tomorrow. Protect your love of God. Walk in his ways. Be obedient." Lord God, we thank you for these warnings that are so true and so applicable, Lord, in our lives today and now. Lord, may we be about your business and Lord, following your word. May we have a hunger to walk in your ways and to walk in step with you. Lord, would we be protectors of our love? May we be on guard. May we be looking for that flame to burn bright in our lives every day, Father. And we thank you because your word is alive and active and it pierces through our heart when the moment is needed, Lord. And we thank you so much. We ask that you go before our time today in our groups, and we praise you and thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Jesus, we worship you for all you are. Father, we want to bow our whole life down. Spirit, invade the broken places in our hearts. The places in our hearts.
Thank you for listening to this Heart to Heart Women's Bible Study recorded at Refuge Calvary Chapel in Huntington Beach. We hope you've been encouraged by today's lesson and will join us again as we continue to study through the Word of God. For more information about the Heart to Heart Women's Ministry, please visit our website at www.refugefamily.com or call our office at 714-891-9495.
Giving up, letting go, standing up, stepping out, walking on in the power of your name.